Welcome to the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
It's Indiana.
Watford for the win! Yes! Yes! Unbelievable!
Your daily home for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
Welcome to Indiana basketball.
Smart takes the shot! And the Hoosiers with 3 seconds. Go ahead.
Indiana wins the championship. Keith Smart is the hero.
When my time on Earth is gone and my activities here are past, I want they bury me upside down and my critics can kiss my...
Now here's your host, Matt Dennison.
It's Indiana. What I feel is the pinnacle, the absolute pinnacle of all of college basketball.
And hello, welcome in another week here on the Hoosier Report. Glad you're with us. Hope you had a great extended weekend. Memorial Day yesterday, I know always a chance to reflect on things, but for us, also a chance to be out at the ballpark. We had lots of high school baseball on over the weekend, some semifinal games in the 4A sectional on Saturday at Bedford, and then yesterday the 3A championship out at North Harrison, the 4A championship back at Bedford, and we've got some local teams from Clark and Floyd counties moving on. Congratulations to those teams. Jeffersonville, back-to-back 4A sectional champions. They will play in a 4A regional on Saturday, as will Silver Creek. They win the 3A championship. They defeat Providence. They'll move to a 3A regional, which will take place down in Evansville this weekend as well. I want to start with that for just a moment. I know we're going to get to a lot of things there. Some recruiting stuff to get to. IU baseball is headed to the regional later this week. But thanks to everybody that tuned in. We just were looking this morning. Amazing numbers. Listeners streaming on the app, streaming on the mobile device, calling in the number to listen. Tune in however it was. We appreciate everybody that was with us. And again, it's one of the great things about a local station, the chance to cover sports and offer play-by-play of not just IU and other teams of interest in the area, but high school basketball, which is a mainstay here in Southern Indiana. But to do things that are a little off the cuff, like high school baseball, and give those teams and coaches and programs hopefully the credit that they deserve. And in the summer, to do some of the Little League Championship games. Again, a local station, I am sure thankful for the Big X for giving me an outlet to get on and provide you a lot of that play-by-play coverage. And I hope that everybody recognizes what the station and the ownership allows us to do. It's a little different from what other people may be doing on the radio, but we sure enjoy bringing stuff for the audience here in Southern Indiana. And I also wanted to start today with just some thanks. Thanks to Lee Kelly, who is always with me in our journeys for play-by-play across Southern Indiana. He helps with this show. He helps with just about everything that we have going. Very appreciative of him. P.K. Falkenstein helps us with baseball. If you tuned in to any of those games this weekend, it was great to have him with me as well. And he's always with us for our baseball broadcast. And even Paul Love, he's been associated with the Big X for a number of years. And he was back in the broadcast booth yesterday. So just a number of people that help make the broadcast possible at the location that we are at. And, of course, the producer of this show, the producer of just about everything that's local, Douglas Scott Wolverton. Doug, we thank you very much for what you do, and I just wanted to tell you that.
Thank you very much.
Start the week. So
thank you.
Couldn't do it without Doug here. So again, and thanks to you, the listener. We were just flabbergasted to see the number of people that tuned in for that coverage. We appreciate the sponsors, and we're already working on how to make it possible to go to Evansville this weekend and not just cover one team, but cover both. And we appreciate the cooperation of the coaches as well. Fun stuff. The baseball season rolls along, and we'll follow the Red Devils and Silver Creek to Evansville this weekend for some regional coverage. Big day for IU as well. Trey Galloway, a big in-state player in the 2020 class, he's taking an official visit to IU. It started yesterday and goes through midday tomorrow, I am told. Of course, a new rule more recently allows even underclassmen, juniors, to take official campus visits, not just unofficial visits, but the official visits where they can spend some real time on a campus with the coaching staff, get a real opportunity to experience what life is like as a player for whatever respective program they are visiting. So big for IU because I'm sure Indiana, you know, they want to keep momentum in state with recruiting as they've done with Romeo Langford and Trace Jackson Davis and others that have joined the 2018 and 19 class as well. But when you look at 2020, you know, Trey Galloway, he's one of those guys up at the top of the list in the state that would be a big land for the program. And he's an interesting player as well. He's not necessarily always flashy, but he's a great shooter, plays defense. That's one of the most complimentary things you can probably say about a player. He really takes pride in playing defense as well. So he's on campus, an official visit for him, and we'll see what the fallout is, what the discussion is when his official visit wraps up. And I believe that's tomorrow midday is when that happens. Let's take a look at the Honey Baked Ham guest lineup, a look at what we're going to do and cover today on the program. In the first segment, we'll have our Hoosier headlines. We'll talk some Romeo Langford. We'll talk some IU basketball, a little recruiting, a little high school baseball from over the weekend, and more. Later in the show, Greg Doyle of the Indianapolis Star is with me, presented by Coffee Crossing. We'll do some of the same. Romeo Langford, we'll talk some college basketball headlines as well, maybe a little college baseball as well with Greg when he's with us a little later in the program. And then we'll wrap things up in the final segment. Mike Pegram of Pegs.com, he will join us today, and we'll talk more about Trey Galloway and how important this somewhat early official visit is for him. We'll do that when he joins the program a little bit later today. That's the guest lineup. It's a service of Honey Baked Ham in New Albany. Don't forget, you can mention the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison. You'll get a dollar off your box lunch when you go to Honey Baked Ham in New Albany. I also want to remind you about some additional special coverage that we have forthcoming midweek. On Wednesday, that's the IU Varsity Club tour of IU coaches at Huber's here in Southern Indiana. It's become a great yearly event. Many years it's been sold out with the excitement with Romeo and a new basketball coach in Archie Miller. It'd be really interesting to see Wednesday night what the crowd is like, but I understand ticket sales have been swift and have been good. We're going to be there for some live coverage. John Spears, who hosts the afternoon program here on the Big X, and I will be live from Huber's beginning at 5 p.m. It's some special coverage presented by Republic Bank. If you can't make it to Huber's, or maybe you're on your way out there for the event, we're going to have some coverage leading up to the start of the event. We hope to grab some special people for interviews as well. We're going to try to carry some of the press conferences live with both the football coach Allen and, of course, basketball coach Archie Miller as well. So we're looking forward to being out there during John's time slot to talk some IU basketball and IU football and see how that event unfolds, and hope that you'll join us in the drive time hour at 5 o'clock here on the Big X Sports Radio. That is on Wednesday. So tomorrow, as we get, it's kind of different here, Memorial Day already Tuesday. It kind of throws you off, but it makes it a much shorter week for everybody. So we will be out there tomorrow at Huber's, and I want to make sure that you're aware of that. Hopefully you can join us for that if you're not going to be able to make it out for the event yourself. Also, let's jump into some Hoosier headlines, a summary of the day's top IU and Southern Indiana sports news. Romeo Langford making it 100% official, what we all assumed and all thought for a number of months, maybe even since he made the commitment to Indiana back in late April of last year. He confirmed with a nice graphic of him with a little letter, four or five paragraphs or so, that he will forego any remaining college eligibility. He will stay in the NBA draft, and obviously he's expected to get drafted. He's right there in a lot of the mock drafts in the middle of the first round, and I think he's got some momentum around his name right now with the surgery and with the hand, and after the interviews at the NBA Combine, that somebody might even take him higher than where he's been listed at. 12 to 17, 13 to 17, I think, are the more mentioned spots where if you look at the needs from some of the teams in the draft that he could go. But here's what he wrote. I'm going to read this to you. Again, this is Romeo Langford, his Twitter post. Quote, "I am thankful for many things, but especially for the opportunity God has given me to play the game I love and to be surrounded by a supportive family that continues to guide me throughout my journey. After a lot of thought and conversations with my family, Coach Miller and the staff at Indiana, I believe now is the time for me to begin the next chapter of my life and keep my name in the 2019 NBA draft. Playing in the NBA has always been a dream of mine, and I am excited for the opportunity to fulfill that dream. From the moment I stepped on campus, Indiana University has been a special place for me. Everyone from the students, the university, the staff, the coaches have made my experience one I will never forget. Though the season didn't end the way we wanted, I am forever proud of all the hard work my teammates and I put in every single day. I would like to thank thank each and every fan that stood behind us through the ups and downs this year. I will always be a proud member of Hoosier Nation, go IU. And again, Romeo Langford, that's what he wrote kind of as a goodbye. It was put out by the IU basketball program on social media as well as Romeo. But again, no surprise there. He clearly has his sights set on the NBA and clearly potentially some great opportunities ahead to get drafted. And we're just a couple days away from June. We are literally a couple days away from the month of the NBA draft. As we draw near, as there's more workouts, as there's more buzz, some of those more reputable mock drafts will continue to be updated. And I think going into the draft, which, what is it, like Thursday night, June 20-something, I think that we'll have a good, even a better read on perhaps where Romeo could get drafted. Things always change on draft night. There's always something you don't expect. Somebody is hot on someone. They pick them earlier than what they're expected. Potentially a trade as well can throw some things off. But those mock drafts are pretty close when it gets right up to the start of the draft, near the draft. Also, IU baseball, the selection show yesterday, wanted to know what regional they'd go to. There had been talk they might go to Nashville. The local place, the obvious place for them to go is Louisville, and that's where the Hoosiers are headed. They will take on Illinois State Friday at 2 o'clock. Of course, IU in that regional with Louisville, the host team. I think Illinois State and Illinois-Chicago, the other two teams in that regional, should be dead set on an IU-Louisville matchup at some point that weekend. On, I think, Sunday is when it could happen, possibly Monday if there was a double elimination game needed. But a big challenge for Indiana to be in the same regional with Louisville. They've got to take care of business first against Illinois State, as does Louisville against Illinois-Chicago. I mean, Louisville did basically the same thing that IU did at their conference tournament, getting beaten two of those early rounds and eliminated. So, but that's exciting. Great stadium across the river. It's nearby. I know tickets will be hard to get if you don't already have one or don't get on it pretty quick, but a great environment for college baseball. The college playoffs, the college regionals, super regionals, and of course the World Series, I think, are really, really great sports and great entertainment. And Indiana challenged Louisville very close in their last matchup in the regular season game that was played at Bloomington a few weeks ago. And how about this? Gabe Bierman of Jeffersonville, he got the opportunity to pitch in that game to Louisville in the regular season. But can you imagine him getting it? I don't know if he is or not. I assume at some point he'll be on the mound this weekend for IU. But can you imagine him getting the opportunity to come back in his home area? I'm sure a lot of Jeffersonville fans and family of his will be there at the regional this weekend, and perhaps the opportunity to step on that mound again against Louisville with all the marbles on the line in a college baseball regional. So that'll be fun. And other good news surrounding the college baseball tournament getting started is we're going to carry, we have approval to carry and pick up the IU network broadcast of the games from the Super Regional. So Friday at 2 o'clock, we will have IU and Illinois State here on the Big X Sports Radio. We're going to have high school baseball, obviously, on Saturday. I'll talk more about that later today. But given how things shake out, we're going to try to make it work where we can do high school, both Jeff and Silver Creek back and forth coverage, along with IU as well. And there's a chance they could play at 4 o'clock on Saturday. And then, of course, high school baseball back that evening, depending on who wins in those semifinal games. But IU baseball, big week. We're going to talk a lot of IU baseball this week on the program, and look forward to them being in Louisville for the regional, and hope that if you can't make it, you'll tune it in right here on the Big X Sports Radio all weekend long, Friday through Sunday, Friday through potentially Monday, the longest that that regional could last. A couple of recruiting notes to pass along. Remember this name. We've talked about him some, but Nigel Pack of Lawrence Central, an underclassman. The Nike EYBL circuit continued over the weekend. They were playing down in Dallas. So many reports coming out of Dallas. He had 33 points in one game, was 12 of 12 from the free throw line. Just a huge weekend. One of the hottest players this weekend on the Nike circuit down in Dallas. He's, again, from Lawrence Central in Indianapolis, a young player in our state, a player that's got some mid-major offers and interest and has had some bigger schools jump in. Indiana, I would say, in contact, recruiting him. No scholarship offer to this point. Butler, I believe, is his biggest offer to date. Don't be surprised if a high-major school, especially one of the Indiana schools, pulls the trigger on him. He is really having a fantastic spring. Always interesting to see who's going to be the breakout player of the spring. It's always interesting to see in July who's going to be the player that really helps himself the most with scholarship offers in July. So far in the spring, Nigel Pack, I think, is that guy. He has really had an absolute breakout spring and on the radar of a lot of schools, and neat to see an IU guy. Well, I shouldn't say an IU guy. Neat to see a Hoosier kid, an in-state kid, get that kind of publicity as well. Also, Kentuckiana Summer Basketball League. I know a lot of people follow the high school hoops in June. It's kind of a relaxed atmosphere. All sorts of games take place at New Albany and New Albany's two middle schools, Hazelwood and Scribner, on Tuesdays and Thursday nights. Also at Moore High School, some games at Christian Academy of Louisville as well on Mondays and Wednesdays. And it all gets started Thursday night. Thursday night is the opening night of Summer League basketball. The games will be at Scribner. New Albany will be in action that night. Mayo will be in action from Louisville. Clarksville will be in action. Some other schools as well. I'll give you the full schedule each day on the program, and that schedule will be out soon for fans that want to see. But a lot of people have been asking about it, and it's almost here, Thursday night, the start of the month of June, at least, on an early start, May 30th, Thursday, of some June Summer League basketball as well. High school games over the weekend. We had Jeff and Silver Creek in their championship games on Monday. Tyler Wheeler was our star of the game for the Dragons as the Dragons win 1-0 over Providence. And for Silver Creek, for Jeffersonville, just a number of players stepped up in a big way as the Red Devils recorded a 7-2 win over Bedford North Lawrence. Bladen McMahon continues to be red hot at the plate. He was a star of the game, as was Connor Christopher, who went 6 2/3 innings as the starting pitcher to get the win over Bedford. And also Devin Rivers from behind the plate. He had some big hitting as well for the Red Devils. But they were our three stars of the game presented by Walnut Ridge Nursery and Garden Center. But there were so many players, not just in the Monday championship, but throughout the week that were spectacular for Jeffersonville and their run to the sectional championship. Defending champions in the 4A sectional 2 years in a row now, and also four straight Hoosier Hills Conference tournament championships for that team. Those are the headlines. We a look at IU and Southern Indiana sports news here in the area. We'll head to a commercial break. We'll come back with Greg Doyle of the Indianapolis Star, presented by Coffee Crossing, coming up next here on a Tuesday edition of the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
We're back on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
Let's win this one for all the small schools who never had a chance to get here.
Join Matt Daly at 11 a.m. and 3 p.m. for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
Let's win for Coach, who got us here.
Here's Matt Dennison.
And welcome back. Tuesday edition of the program means Greg Doyle of the Indianapolis Star is with us. This segment presented by Coffee Crossing. Highway 311 in Sellersburg may be temporarily closed, but Coffee Crossing's Sellersburg location is still open and brewing great coffee daily. Greg, I didn't get a chance to even mention this in the first segment with all the headlines today, but Indianapolis 500 in the books over this Memorial Day holiday weekend. I know you were there, and we should probably talk about it, given that we're in Indiana and it's a Hoosier State tradition. And I got to see the very end. What a shootout to finish things at the Indy 500 this year. I know that was very exciting.
Yeah, it was like an NBA game where all the action happens in the last 5 minutes. It was it was unbelievable the way that that Rossi was just trading the lead with Pagano, and then finally just couldn't catch him. But Rossi was the revelation of the race. I mean, Pagano won his first 500, and that's great. But Rossi was the guy that, I mean, he was trending around the world because of the stuff he was doing. It was the best of racing. It was hard and clean and fiery and all that stuff. What headlines are you talking about that you were reading in the first section?
Oh, just all the IU visits this weekend. We had big sectional baseball weekend with local teams advancing, and got to get to U at 11:15. I struggled to get there on time, so I had to had to cut it short. But, you know, Indy, we've talked about this before. I think people in Southern Indiana, I'm sure there's some people listening that watch the race, that go to the race every year. I know some groups that go up for Carb Day or even for the race as well. But generally, I don't get the feeling, me included as a person that really enjoys sports, that people in the far part of our state, maybe from Columbus or Seymour South, really do get that into it, to be honest. I know there are groups that do and some that do, but I kind of compare it to the Kentucky Derby. I think people toward Indianapolis probably maybe watch the race and, you know, get into it a little bit, but no one's having parties or making a lot of trips down here for it other than maybe a once in a, you know, lifetime trip or something like that.
Yeah, I don't know where all these people are coming from. I think 250 to 300,000, I think, were there this weekend.
I think it was 300,000 or more, wasn't it?
There you go. Might have been. They say it was slightly down from last year, and last year was at 3. But those are all guesses, and when you're looking at that many people, it's hard to – I mean, no one knows. You know, all you can do is guess. But there was a threat of rain all day, and certainly all the night before should have crushed their traffic, but it didn't. But, yeah, I don't know who goes to this thing. If you're not coming from all over the state, our town's not quite big enough, I don't think, to fill it up. But it's the mystery to me is that people will get up at whatever time they get up and get to the racetrack 6 hours before it starts. That's how important it is to them. That happened. In fact, we got there 5.5 hours before the race started. We had a police escort to get us there. We have to donate money to the local police, whatever, and they give us a flashing light escort, 15 cars of us. But that's what it takes to get there at 7 a.m. on a 12:45 race day.
Wow. Well, I'm curious. I mean, I know you covered sports across the country on a lot of your different stops, and I know we talk a ton of basketball when you're on this segment year-round, but had you been to a 500 before your time at the Star, and what was your take of the first one you attended, if it was when your tenure started with the Star?
No, I hadn't been to one. The only race I'd ever been to was a Hot Rod, NHRA. The Gator Nationals were and maybe still are in Gainesville, Florida, so I went to that a couple times just to – I got paid to cover it. You know, I didn't go by choice. And that was all I knew. I believe my first year here was Montoya won. I think Montoya won for the first time after like a 15-year drought. He won, and drought's the wrong word, because I don't think he'd even raced here in 15 years. He came back and won the thing. I've evolved to the position now where I actually really enjoy race day. I think that's a lot of fun. There's just a ton of great stories every day. I mean, there's a ton of great stories all the time. But I don't enjoy so much this enormous track when it's empty and guys are running practice laps, and like, I need passion. You know, that's why I don't like the NBA until the playoffs. I need some passion, and there's just no passion out there until a race day, but on a race day there's enough to tide me over for sure.
Talking with Greg Doyle of the Indianapolis Star, this segment each week is presented by Coffee Crossing. Let's get to something that I know I'm a little more comfortable with, and that's basketball, and that's Romeo Langford and the NBA draft that is forthcoming up here really in less than a month away. It's hard to describe this because there's nothing that's happened. Romeo has not performed any workouts that I'm aware of. In fact, the last we saw him in Chicago, his hand was still wrapped. There may be some workouts to come between now and the draft, but I'm not sure that anyone outside of Romeo and his agent and maybe his family know for sure what will happen with him between now and the draft. But I do sense, since the combine, since those interviews, since some explanations not just to NBA personnel and one-on-one meetings, but also even in some general interviews that he did, with further explanation about his hand and what he went through all season, that maybe his stock is kind of rising again after dropping a little this season, which is crazy for a guy that hasn't played since the last game of the Big Ten Conference regular season.
Well, it should rise based on what he did, and I think we talked about this a little bit last week, and I know that conversation with you triggered me to – I've already written it. It's not going to run in the paper until Sunday, and I think it'll go online in a couple of days. But I've written this, that, you know, now we know what Romeo did for IU, for his teammates, for his coaches. We know the sacrifice he made, that he could have had surgery in November and was told in November, you need surgery. The question is, are you going to have it now and either miss 6 or 8 weeks or perhaps shut it down for the year, as Darius Garland did at Vanderbilt with a meniscus, which is actually, it sounds worse, it's a knee, but a meniscus, you get over that in about 4 weeks, 4 to 6. Romeo's told 6 to 8. Garland had his thing and pretty much shut it down. And look at his draft stock. It's on the rise. He's top five last I saw. Romeo played through his, didn't shoot very well, and his stock has plummeted. There's kind of a lesson in there, I guess, for future prospects. But Romeo, I mean, showed toughness. I mean, because now we know. Everybody knows down there, you around the state too, that you know his face never changes. So it doesn't. He's just one of those athletes. They're so natural and so gifted that it just doesn't look like he's trying very hard because he's not straining with every little fiber of his face. But you get confused because you see how smooth he is. But he is trying hard. Now we know how tough he is. He was playing in pain and mentally tough too, knowing he was. I mean, he wouldn't even use it as an excuse. I asked him after the Big Ten tournament. I asked him, "Are you going to need surgery on that thumb?" I mean, I was giving him a chance. Tell me that your thumb's messed up. And he would. He said, "No, I won't." And I'm okay with being lied to in that moment, just because you know I put him in a spot where he can either divulge information he doesn't want us to know, or he can lie to me. I mean, I'm okay being lied to in that setting, especially given the kind of the noble reasons behind it. So I'm happy that your sense is that, and I hope you're right. That teams realize A, you're going to shoot better than we saw, and B, you're a tough and unselfish son of a gun. And I know that's what IU coaches are telling teams. Tough and unselfish is what this kid was.
Greg Doyle, Indianapolis Star, presented by Coffee Crossing. The draft is June 20th. Have you been to the draft over the years of covering things?
Never been there in person, nope.
Yeah, I know they've made some changes in recent years with the green room and thing. I just trying to get a sense for what the environment's like. I guess fans are allowed to buy a ticket, but they're kind of set in a different area, I think, where they can watch the picks come through. But obviously there's a whole nother area for the players and their families and the coaches. But it's an event that I've always thought would be neat to go to, especially if there was ever a local player. This year, obviously, there is. But it's one of those things that it's not really well known, the setup of it. I just was trying to get a feel for the lay of the land.
Yep, but will Romeo go, do you think? Given that you're not a guarantee to go in the lottery, that'd be awfully tough.
Yeah, I guess that's kind of what I'm getting at. I wasn't sure how many people went, if it was only the for sure people that produced those good television moments. That's kind of the stuff. I'm just not well versed on it enough to know.
Yeah, for his sake, I mean, if he goes, I hope he goes early, because if he doesn't, he will become the story. Romeo's still sitting there, you know, and nobody wants that for him. He doesn't deserve that. So if he goes now, and maybe 25 guys go, maybe the whole first round, maybe they all go, and that then it's not so bad. But I don't want him to be Aaron Rodgers and sitting there, and he's you know still available for the Packers at 24, or whatever happened to Rodgers all those years ago.
Yeah, absolutely. Greg Doyle, Indianapolis Star, our guest. Talking NBA, I want to continue on with the finals. You mentioned this is a time of year where you pay a little more attention to things, and I'm the same way. This is the time when the NBA is something I try not to miss. Gets to the conference finals and, of course, the NBA finals as well. Toronto in the finals, that is just crazy and hard for me to comprehend.
Well, I know they were kind of the hot team in the preseason. In the East, they were thought to be them. It was Boston, but then after that it was Toronto because they upgraded. You know, DeRozan is a big loss, but Kawhi Leonard's a bigger game, so that was an upgrade. So, and I'm hearing people talking about that Toronto's got this great underdog story, and given that they're playing Golden State, yes, they do. I mean, everybody has an underdog story against Golden State, but I don't really understand the narrative that I'm hearing that they're kind of surprised to be there. Once we all realize that Boston's just not what we thought, I don't know why Toronto kind of wouldn't. I realize Milwaukee had the best record in the regular season, but Toronto's right there. I mean, they're right there, and Kawhi's done it in the playoffs, and Giannis hadn't, and they're not going to beat Golden State. In fact, I think the only chance they have is if Kevin Durant does play. Dumb as that may sound, but just because Golden State's on a roll, they got it rolling. And they're something like, I don't know, 31-1 or whatever the record is over the last couple of years in games where Durant didn't play, but Steph Curry did. They're, for whatever reason, that's pretty good sample size, for whatever reason, they're better without him, when Curry's healthy. I couldn't explain why that is, but that's the numbers say that what they say. And not that they're going to be so bad with Durant there that they can lose to Toronto. I don't mean it like that. What I mean is if they insert this guy on the fly in the middle of the series, I mean, you know, maybe they take off and win every game by 50 because they ought to. Or maybe it just kind of disrupts the flow and the chemistry and Toronto wins a couple games. So, again, I think Toronto's only chance is for Kevin Durant to play.
Greg Doyle, Indianapolis Star. I saw this as well. I have not mentioned this yet. I meant to get it on in the first segment, but OG Anunoby was doing a little workout on the court before one of the final Eastern Conference games, and there was a report that the Raptors are optimistic he could return at some point in the finals. So if you're looking for a local connection to the NBA Finals, you think, where are we going to find it with Toronto being the representative of the Eastern Conference? OG Anunoby potentially could at some point log a little playing time, it sounds like, against the Warriors.
Well, and that's another deal where you got your team has something rolling, and do you change it up? And obviously he wouldn't be starting. I know he was starting earlier, I believe he was, but Pascal Siakam kind of took his place there, perhaps after he got hurt. But he'd be coming in as the 8th or 9th or 10th man. It's worth a shot. I know that Toronto's big issue has been, are they going to get enough help for Kawhi? You know Kawhi's going to be there, and some days Van Vliet, and some days Lowry, and some days Siakam, they do have big games, but a lot of times they don't, and Kawhi, you better do it all because we don't have anybody else doing it. So they could use a body off the bench who can shoot threes. Question is he come in, you know, can you get, I mean, he's a young guy. You know, he should be a college junior right now, I think. He's a young kid. Does he just get inserted in the NBA Finals and go hit some threes against Golden State? Go do that. And Draymond Green might be on him if Kawhi's not on the court when OG is. So that's a tough assignment. That'll be interesting to watch.
Greg Doyle, Indianapolis Star. This segment each week is presented by Coffee Crossing. Now that the weather has changed and it's warmed up a bit, don't forget you can get all of your favorite Coffee Crossing drinks blended or over ice. Greg, thanks for the chat today. You sound like a guy that's had a long weekend, man. Get some rest, and we'll talk to you next week.
I think I'm coming down with a cold. No fun, Matt.
Okay. All right.
Talk to you next week. I'll be better.
Get well soon, Greg. Thank you. Greg Doyle, Indianapolis Star, with us always on Tuesdays, presented by Coffee Crossing. And speaking of Romeo in the NBA draft, I always have people ask, you know, what mock drafts do you look at? And I've talked some about that on the program there. If you just search on Twitter or Google, there are so many mock drafts out there. Some of them are probably people like you and I that really have no business doing them, that just find it fun or want to put something out there that who knows if it's legit or not. There are ones like Jonathan Givony and some of the national media people. Obviously, those are the ones that you should look at first. But over the weekend, I was looking around at the draft and trying to find a little bit more about how everything worked behind the scenes. And will Romeo be there? How many players normally go to the actual location of draft, which is in Brooklyn this year? And there is on the NBA website, if you click on draft, they have kind of a consensus mock draft where the NBA writers themselves take ESPN and take the more respected mocks out there and combine them and kind of give you a breakdown of who for each team is associated the most with that teams in the mock draft. I think, let me look at it here real quick. I think that Romeo Langford was most associated in the latest update as the number 13 pick, which would be going to the Miami Heat. And it looks like two different mock drafts had him going at that spot. So that in the consensus mock, they have him at number 13 to the Heat. But that's a good one to check out because they're kind of combining it all for you, doing all the work and putting them all together there with the combination of everything together. So, again, Greg Doyle, Indianapolis Star, segment each week is presented by Coffee Crossing. Don't forget, Wednesday night we're at Huber's for some special coverage from the IU Coaches Tour with the IU Varsity Club. We'll be on the air, John Spears and I, at 5 o'clock for special coverage presented by Republic Bank. Republic Bank, it's just easier here. We'll head to a commercial break. We'll come back. Mike Pegram of Pegs.com joins us. We talk IU basketball. We talk Trey Galloway and his official visit to the Bloomington campus that started yesterday and I understand ends about midday tomorrow, and a lot of other topics as well. Stay with us for Pegs coming up next right here on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
We're back on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison. Join Matt Daly at 11 a.m. and 3 p.m. for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
I'll handle this the way I want to handle it now that I'm here. You f***ed it up to begin with. Now just sit there or leave. I don't give a f*** what you do. Now, back to the game.
Here's Matt Dennison.
And welcome back. Final segment on this Tuesday program. Mike Pegram of Pegs.com is with us, always with us on, I'm all messed up here with Memorial Day, always with us on Tuesdays as we talk IU basketball. We got to talk some IU baseball with the Hoosiers headed down our way to Louisville for the regional over the weekend as well forthcoming. Mike, let's start with baseball before we get to Trey Galloway and IU basketball recruiting and other topics. The baseball team was up in the air. Would it be Louisville? Would it be Nashville? Either way, you've got a tough Louisville team, a tough Vanderbilt team in the two nearest regionals for college baseball. Louisville it is, and I think we're due at some point this weekend, if all plays out the way we very much expect it to, for an IU-Louisville showdown right across the river.
Yeah, but Indiana's going to have to get past a decent Illinois State team that's knocked off some of the teams that have made the tournament during the year. And I think that, you know, you got to wonder if Indiana's a little bit shell-shocked by their 0-2, you know, showing in the Big Ten tournament. But they have shown throughout the year that they have bounced back from a bad series. They bounced back from a bad start to the year. And I think their pitching strategy will change a little bit versus what they did in the Big Ten tournament.
Talking with Mike Pegram of Pegs.com, I know you follow it a lot closer than I do, but what happened at the Big Ten tournament to go 0-2, to be the number one seed, as well as IU is playing, to go to Michigan just before that and win a series? So what in the world happened?
They didn't hit the ball very well at all. I mean, they didn't even give themselves a chance for a home, for, you know, extra base hits. You know, Coach Mercer, we talked to him yesterday, we're, you know, asking, well, what was that big ballpark in Omaha that caused the problems? And he was, no, we didn't even, you know, come close to hitting anything really on the, in the meat of the bat and coming close to home run. So it was just a, you know, two good pitching outings for the opposition, and Indiana just didn't respond. And that can happen in baseball, one or two games where you're just out of it and or face a really hot pitcher.
Talking with Mike Pegram of Pegs.com, IU baseball opens in Louisville at 2 o'clock against Illinois State, and we'll have the broadcast right here Friday on the Big X Sports Radio. Trey Galloway is on campus. He has been since yesterday for an official visit. Before we even talk about him, it's a new rule. It's fairly new that allows underclassmen, that allows juniors to take official visits to colleges like this visit Trey is on currently. Isn't that correct?
Yeah, they have to get it done by mid-June, and we've got a couple of them this week. Trey Galloway's in the middle of one right now, and Matt Cross will be coming in on Friday. He's from out east, so both of them are taking advantage of the rule that allows you to take junior official visits, and the clock will reset, and Galloway or Matt Cross can also take a senior year official visit to Indiana or to whatever schools that they want to look at.
Trey Galloway, obviously, as far as in-state players go in the 2020 class, guys that will be seniors for the next high school basketball season, he is, I think, a key target. He's someone that is coveted by a number of high-major programs. His interest seemed to grow even more this spring in the one evaluation period that coaches had to get out on the road. How important of a recruit would he be, of a land would he be for Archie Miller to continue momentum in the state of Indiana? 18 was headlined by Romeo. 19 was headlined by Trace Jackson Davis. I don't know that there's a player of that national caliber in the 2020 class, but I would think one of the keys to keep momentum, at least in state, would be a player like Trey Galloway coming to IU.
Right. They got two McDonald's All-Americans in a row from into the state, so they have tremendous momentum. Despite what happened to Keon Brooks. But I think that Galloway is really maybe the best available player. Jaden Ivey is a tremendous player, but he's already committed to Purdue. And Galloway has had real consistent production this spring. Just a really nice all-around player, and you could fit him around different pieces And so he makes sense for Indiana, but Notre Dame's really on him strong too and close to home.
Talking to Mike Pegram, Pegs.com. Don't forget to check out the Pegs website, Pegs.com, if you've got a subscription to more of what we talk about. A lot of those topics you can read about right now on Mike, his website, of course, Jeff Rabjohns, Matt Weaver, and the Pegs team. Other recruiting stuff right now, you mentioned another official visit later in the week. We're kind of entering uncharted territory, I think it's safe to call, as we entered the month of June here later this week, because college coaches, normally June has been a dead period. The only opportunity IU would have to see recruits in action would be the Archie Miller team camp that he's hosted the last few years, where they're able to get some good high school teams, and specifically high school teams that seem to have some IU targets, maybe future targets if they're younger players on campus to play. But this June's going to be a little different. The NBA players camp has always been a dead event, a dead period event. Coaches will be allowed to attend that event, as that will include a lot of the great players in the country. Coaches have been allowed recently to go to the USA basketball events, which will include just the very best in each of the top classes. So those are this month. And then at the end of the month, something entirely new, high school events. There's a big one in Indianapolis, the Charlie Hughes Shootout. New Albany, I know, goes every year. Jeffersonville has been, Silver Creek as well. A number of area schools go. This year it's different. The college coaches will be able to be there and watch, and I understand they're going to structure that tournament from a standpoint where some of the better teams with the bigger prospects will be grouped together in the same sort of double elimination bracket, which might make it a little easier for college coaches to hone in on certain games depending on the level of school that they are. That it's just going to be a different month and a different feel for recruiting in June, I think, overall.
Yeah, I'm confused myself about where to go, but we will definitely go to Virginia to see the top 100 camp. I think it's around June 13th, and there'll be some team camp stuff at Indiana with a lot of the better high school teams and prospects that, you know, has often been where the coaches have decided whether to offer somebody or not. But like you said, there's a whole new set of stuff going with the high school teams and everything that is uncharted territory, but we'll definitely cover it when it makes sense and see what we know about the college coach's game plan as we get closer to June.
Talking to Mike Pegram, Pegs.com, with us. July gets back to somewhat normal. You've got a live period for the coaches to be on the road and hit some of the SHU events and the AAU events that are out there. There are some new NCAA regional camps as well, which are going to be very interesting. I know everybody's trying to, the coaches and players I talk to, trying to figure out how this is all going to happen, these regional camps. And I guess people like you and others thinking, how are we going to cover some of this stuff? How is it going to work? Just generally, Mike, for a guy, and I've known you for years and years and years, and you've always been at these events. You've always probably covered recruiting for a specific team. We're one of the first guys out there doing it at the level that you were. This is just this whole summer, June and July, when you start to think ahead, now that we're getting there, just a completely different look at things than what normally has happened with the recruiting scene. And if you and I are thinking that, I can only imagine what Archie Miller and his staff and these D1 coaches and their staffs that actually have to get out, offer kids, make decisions, what they're thinking about it.
Yeah, it's the players themselves, and I'm not sure what they've really set their what camps and so forth that they'll be at, but a lot of weird stuff going on in late July after the normal shoe camp stuff, a shoe circuit, I should say, stuff goes on in early July. But it's going to be a really important time for Indiana with four open scholarships and none of them filled right now, and not a lot of talent in the state of Indiana. They have to do a heck of a job finding spots for that team, because they just don't have the easy guy from in the States, and not a single really top 75 player for them.
Mike Pegram, Pegs.com, is with us. Mike, when does the team, I know we've talked about this some before, but with college over for the year, classes over for the year, graduation for the year, when does the majority of the team make their way back to campus? Is that in June? Is it late June? And when will they get to work with Cliff and some of the off-the-court things?
Well, a lot of them are probably there already. And the freshmen arrive around mid-June, maybe slightly before then. And they usually take the mid-June to mid-July summer session. But a lot of the players are probably already on campus taking that, mid-May to mid-June summer session. There's several summer sessions. And it is a chance for some guys to go back home for a month. But a lot of the players usually stay on, and they also work with the coaches in that limited environment that they have with workout-type things, not really, five-on-five or real true basketball practice.
Mike Pegram, Peaks.com, our guest. Before we let you go, one other question. A couple people have asked this, and you may not know, but regional this weekend in Louisville, how hard will tickets be to come by for that? Are they still available? Do you know much about the sales of those tickets?
I asked Jody Demling this session yesterday, and he thought they would sell out. They have 4,000 seats. I noticed looking at the ticket applications that you only thing available was entire session tickets. Now, I don't know if that changes after a couple of days, but that was definitely complicated because I was asked to look into it for somebody. But with Indiana being right on the border of Louisville, and Louisville being a perennially good team and that hosts regionals in the past, I would think that these games would sell out. Now, Louisville stands be full for Illinois State and Indiana or games not involving Louisville. I don't know, but those seats might be sold, just not filled. But when Louisville plays, I expect to be sold out. And when Indiana plays in Illinois State, I think there'd be a lot of people there just because of it. Nearness to Bloomington. But I would get your tickets now. I wouldn't wait.
Yeah, absolutely. Mike Pegram, Peaks.com. Mike, always with us on Tuesdays. We talk IU basketball and more. And Mike, enjoyed the chat. We'll talk to you again next week.
All right, Matt. Talk to you then. Bye.
All right, Mike Pegram with us always on Tuesdays of the Peaks.com website. Couple of notes. Don't forget Wednesday night. The tour of IU coaches is at Huber's. There are still tickets available through the IU Varsity Club, I believe. Nonetheless, we'll be there at 5 o'clock for some special coverage from the event presented by Republic Bank, so make sure you join us for that. We'll try to pick up. Our plan is the press conferences for Coach Allen and Coach Miller as well. They always meet briefly with the press before they make their comments to the crowd at Huber's, and we hope to have some other guests with us as well. So, again, we'll be live, John Spears and I, from Huber's during his afternoon drive program at 5 o'clock tomorrow, Wednesday, on the Big X Sports Radio. Also, on Saturday, we will be in Evansville. Our plan right now is to have back-and-forth coverage between, starting with the 3A regional at noon. Silver Creek will take on South Dearborn, and then follow that up with some reports and updates and play-by-play coverage eventually once the Silver Creek game nears the conclusion from the Jeffersonville-Columbus East game. Columbus East, a winner last night in their sectional. They'll move on to play the Red Devils, but more on our baseball coverage coming up later this week as well. That's going to wrap things up for a Tuesday edition of the program. I'll be back with you on Wednesday at 11 o'clock. And, of course, a lot of IU baseball this week. We're going to dig into that some more and have some special guests on surrounding that in the regional this week in Louisville. And speaking of our coverage, don't forget Friday at 2 o'clock, we'll have IU baseball against Illinois State, the first game from the regional for IU on the airwaves as well here on the Big X 1450 and 96.1. That wraps things up for today. Thanks for being with us, and thanks to all of you specifically that were with us for the baseball coverage over the Memorial Day weekend as well. We had a great listening audience on the streaming and on the mobile app, and we appreciate everybody that tuned in for that as well. I'll talk with you tomorrow at 11 o'clock. This is the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.